Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, for the most, the man that won Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Director, Best Picture, Best Everything, because I am that damn good. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I give you the man who won the Raspberry Awards on Saturday night, because he's garbage, he stinks. He don't know how to act for nothing.
Flattery will get you nowhere. It is Sean Black back in the building once again. Good grief. You know, you seem to grow more titles every week we do this show.
Because, as Lady T will agree, without the Hot Rod, there's no show. Without me, there's no Oscars. I put everybody on the map. I am the savior of all saviors. I am soon to be the next messiah to save you guys. You're welcome.
Do you hear that? Those are crickets. There we go. That's all we need.
Ladies and gentlemen, besides being jealous of me, the number to call is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Welcome aboard the Lady of the Hour, Lady T.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, what's going on?
See, she was thinking about a comeback line to go against the Hot Rod, but not yet. It's not
there
yet.
I was going to say, I thought that was you. Never mind. It is. Never mind.
See?
I just thought that was you on the red carpet, but I realized it was Billy Porter. But okay.
Knowing the Hot Rod, the red carpet would have turning purple with him puking all over the place.
The
so.
Glasses
don't
threw
figure.
Me off. The glasses threw me off.
Okay. Are you guys done? Are you done bashing me now? Are you done? Oh.
You know, Hot Rod, you had it coming.
What? In more ways than one. But besides that, I'd like to apologize to Sean Black. Last week, I was calling him like almost every day because it seemed like no matter what's going on, there's always something crazy happening. For me to call Sean Black, and we talk about it for like a half an hour almost every day about the crazy stories that's going on in this crazy world of ours. Like, AT, Sean Black and I should do the show almost every day if we could, you know? Because there's so much happening, you know? And that's when we had the weekend off, another crazy thing happened. And for our listeners around the world, there's always been tension between the police officers and the community, especially the Black and Latino community, is a given. There's no secrets about that. There are some repairs between the police and the community. But at the same time, there's not. A few weeks ago, there was some protests going on against the police, of course, at the police, screw the police, and they vandalized the New York subway system, which made no sense to me. But at the same time, Saturday night, up in the Bronx, well, this is the Bronx, it's like a whole different world from New York. A gentleman went up to a police car, a parked car, allegedly, asked for directions to the police officers, and started shooting at them. Lucky for the officers, no one was killed. But wait, there's more. The same guy, which I texted Sean Black yesterday, made no sense to me. After the officer went out to shot, after the guy went out to shoot at the officers, the same guy went 12 hours later to the precinct of the station house of the officers, pulled out a gun, and fired at a lieutenant.
He wasn't finished.
I guess he told someone, hold my beer. Wait, there's more. All right, guys, I know, excuse me for these deja vu questions again, over and over. But what was your thought when you heard this story? Do you think mental illness was involved in this case? Because shockingly, the guy who put out the gun and started firing at the police station is still alive today. you know, we all hear stories how black men get killed for not carrying a weapon. Well, in this case, you have a person carrying a weapon, spying at the police, and still alive today. Isn't that irony? Well, go ahead, Sean Black. What is your thoughts?
I don't really know where to begin when I hear about these kinds of things. Because this is, remember, the last time we talked about this was the Wen Jin Lu police shooting that happened, I think it was 3 years ago?
Two years ago.
With the
guy, the PBA, Pat Lynch, because of that.
Yeah. And that happened with the two police sitting in a car, I believe it was on Myrtle Avenue in Brooklyn, and got shot. And we all talked about that ad nauseum. This is, I've been hearing a lot of people that live in the New York area that have actually thinking of that we're starting to see a return to the way that New York City was portrayed back in the late 70s and the early 80s. Where it was unsafe to even go to the store or go to take your kids to a park. You're starting to hear more and more of these kinds of things happening on a semi-regular basis, although crime has been down in general compared to previous years. We have seen an uptick in crime. Now we're starting to see more crime towards police. There seems to be a lot of apathy toward police in today's society, whether you're black, whether you're Asian. There are just a lot of people that don't either seem to like police or have issues with police. We talked about over the summer when people were watching police and they were throwing water at them, antagonizing police.
Yes.
So this has been a steady growth of apathy physically.
So
towards
basically people. You're saying the attack on police has risen.
Yes.
That's what seems.
It's sad, but at the same time, knowing the things that have happened in the media, it's kind of weird to see that something like this has not happened more often than it has. I'm kind of shocked at that. But it's a real sad situation. And I'm really interested to hear what Lady T has to say about this, because I'm pretty sure we've been hearing a lot about this. And do you feel safer going outside now knowing that you have these things happening to police much more, or, you know, hearing about this? Or is it something that it's like this is not something that happens too often?
So one thing about everything that was just said, as far as the crime rate, it's still as stabilized as it was before. Just today they were talking about that, Pat Lynch and the mayor seems to be having some sort of disagreement is what I think is going
what
on.
What a surprise, right?
Yeah, but it seems even more heightened. Did we forget that we just changed the commissioner or who retired?
Yes.
Yeah, the commissioner.
And someone, yeah,
yes.
Right? And someone
James
else
O'Neil
came
just
in.
Retired. And
right.
Replaced by Dermot Shea, I think.
Right. There goes the same. Okay. So do we not think that certain things have to get adjusted now with Dermot? It seems like from what I was watching today when, you know, the officer, thank God, everything is okay with him. They were released from the hospital today and so forth. But Pat Lynch has an issue because he feels like the mayor is allowing the attacks on cops. Okay. They want to blame that new bail reform, which is incorrect because there's only three things that was added to that. That bail reform has always been like that. There's now certain things that have been added to that as far as if a person wasn't it's not a – how do I call it again? It's not a threat as far as they never had any weapon on them and so forth. Those types of people were able to now be –
violence, right?
Right.
They did not cause any violence.
Exactly, and they were no imminent threat because I was watching a topic with Eric Adams talking about that and so forth. So they explained that. It's a lot of people that just think, oh, they're just letting people out. But that was always there in place for white folks, that same bail reform. But now that they've added it in reference to the black communities now, because they've seen why is it okay for these people but not okay for those people, that's why that went into reform. So I don't think people realize that. So as far as with the crime and things like that, the attack on the police, you have a lot of cuckoo people walking these streets that don't want to get help for themselves, number one. Things like this
well,
is just very, very dangerous.
Are you calling this mental illness then? That's what you're calling this?
I would think that guy is going to plead mental illness. They always do. Let's stop playing with this.
Well, I'm not arguing with you too much, but you have this guy, this premeditated. He went in there thinking that, you know what, if I shot...
Premeditated by who's saying that? Who's saying that it was premeditated?
That what the media said because...
The media, exactly. Why not? Let's create a story for it, but go ahead.
He went in there, ready to cause some type of chaos, start shooting at officers, and this is why I went to Sean yesterday. I'm like, Sean, anyone who's crazy enough to walk into a police station with a gun, start firing at officers, you're asking for suicide right there, basically.
All right, but is nobody finding it shocking that when these massacres and things happen, as far as like the Kmart shooting and everything, immediately they tell you that that person was crazy? Why are they not telling us his mental state right away? I want to know his mental state right away. Why is nobody, can't nobody see that?
Well, they call him an assassin. If you look at the Daily News cover, they call him an assassin because target police.
A journalist. Great. Assassins. And what are these people that shoot up the schools? Are they not assassins too?
Oh, no.
It was premeditated.
Those are people that need help.
Okay.
And as
so
I said
why,
before, there is a small amount of people. There's a small amount of people that just want to watch the world burn. I've said this many times before. It doesn't necessarily mean somebody has some sort of mental illness issue. There are just some people, a small amount, a very minute amount of people in the 7 billion people on this planet that just revel in chaos. We don't know anything about the background of this guy as far as his criminal history or anything like that, but that could just be the case. He just may not.
Maybe he
like
does hate cops? Maybe he does hate cops?
That's what they claim. He said that he hates cops, but that's my point that I'm making. You have people that say, we hate blacks or we hate gays, and then they go do all these massacres in these states and so forth. And immediately the first thing they'll say, especially of their color, is, they were mental or this, this, and that. Why we're not getting the full effect on this guy? That's my point that I'm making to you.
Yeah. Remember
why is
the,
it
the,
so okay to say, oh,
person,
he just hates cops, so he came and shoot him up? No.
Last year, remember there was in Brooklyn, there was a shooting. I believe it was just before the summer started I believe he was mentally ill or had some kind of mental disorder.
The pipe?
With the pipe in
the
his hand.
Yeah.
And the first thing anybody wondered was, okay, why would he be walking through the streets with and he pulled out a pipe and it looked like a weapon. So the first thing that they did instead of trying to find out what was going on, he shot him. Now, as you said before, in a lot of people's minds, when somebody of color is in the middle of something like this, they are not afforded the same kind of thought process behind why this person is doing it. What kind of negotiation are we going to have? It's a matter of just get it over with. And forget about what the situation is, whether he has a disability, mentally disabled, anything like that doesn't prop up into the discussion until after the fact. And
yeah, that's what I'm talking about, after the fact,
not
when it's going on. Yeah, not when it's going on, after the fact. They still are not telling us his history. By now, if it was someone else, they would have said, okay, you know, it's unfortunate that he shot these people in Kmart, you know, but he was mentally ill. We've seen his Facebook page. We've seen this, that. They give you all of that.
Yes.
Well, so you're basically saying that this is a shoot first, ask questions later if we want to ask questions?
If he's still alive to ask questions, which he is, and nobody see his eyes blackened and, you know, all of that stuff, you know?
Oh, well, let's be honest. When in the video, he dropped his gun and laid down on the ground, you knew what happened to him after that. I'm sorry, it beat the crap out of him.
I know that we know. It's unfortunate when we know, but it's disgusting that he even came in there. He confessed, they said, to, you know, both both shootings and so forth. He may face, he will be facing life and so forth. Mm-hmm. It's like, we already know how this is going to go. And the reason why he hates cops, now he's going to have to live with cops because COs are, or cops as well. So you're going to be living with them for the rest of your life now. So,
And I talked to my cop friend, and they told me one reason why he may still be alive was there's so many cameras everywhere, like inside the precinct.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that.
I believe that 100%.
I totally believe that.
Was that for the cameras?
It's so unfortunate. Yeah, the cameras saved him, but, you know.
But
This is the kind of thought process that we've seen today now.
Well, guys, does this bring more tension now between the community and the police officers? Well, we always say that, you know what? When the black man see a cop, and vice versa, we have a little bit of tension going on. Like, is he going to shoot me? Or am I going to be harassed?
Hot Rod, I don't think it's going to change anybody's minds that have either been on both sides. If you already have a particular mindset towards police officers, if you are African-American, if you're Hispanic, if you're any ethnicity that it is not of Caucasian persuasion, and you're dealing with a police officer, that's not going to sway your interaction with them. If you have positive interactions with them and you feel still to this day, I should be able to call a police officer if somebody's robbing my house, or if I got beat up in the street and I need to call the police or something like that, that's not going to change. If you already have the idea behind that and you don't like cops at all, I don't think that's going to do anything but solidify your own mindset towards that situation anyway.
And if you're already the head of, the police department, like the PBA, Pat Lynch, and so forth, and you guys are having big disagreements with de Blasio, how can we come to terms on this? And that's another thing. So if you guys are always both at war with the mayor, you know, it has to be a fine line where they can meet and, you know, figure out how they're going to do things. But it seems like everybody is always de Blasio, de Blasio, de Blasio, doesn't do this, doesn't do that. So I don't know. And then don't forget, we have a new commissioner. So it's like he needs to be adjusted. He needs to figure a plan out, too. That's his job.
Well, Pat is always seemingly looking for a fight anyway. Because every time I see an interview with him on the news, he's always angry and shouting anyway. And it's usually
he does that, but he was in line and working with Giuliani when that time came. Yeah. So, you know, maybe de Blasio is not speaking his language, so of course he's not with it.
But also Giuliani was pro-police. So
yeah, that's my point. So you got to be pro-police and, you know.
But like I told Sean Black this morning, the way Pat Lynch talked, I don't trust him one bit. He does remind me of a KKK ran up his... you know, his guys, you know, to go against whatever. I just don't trust him. You can tell he's full of crap overall.
Yes, tell us how you really feel, Hot Rod.
talk about full of crap. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you K-Dog. K-Dog, anything else you'd like to add on?
Well, good evening, everybody. Well, you know what it is from what I heard is that the guy, he was bold enough to walk into a police station and start shooting, and from what I heard, he even told a cop that he'll shoot one cop the minute he gets out. It's like an anti-police feeling. And as for Pat Lynch and his dislike for Mayor de Blasio, it's been going on for the longest. I mean, ever since the Eric Garner case, he's been up against Mayor de Blasio by saying that, oh, Mayor de Blasio's against police, which he's not. He's speaking fairness. You know, let me just play the devil's advocate. Whenever there's trouble, who are you going to call? Aren't you going to call the police? Yes, you are going to call the police. You do need the police. But it's a shame that cops who are doing their jobs are the ones paying for the ones who are basically abusing their power.
Not all cops. Some cops, right?
Right. I'm just saying, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at both sides. There are good cops and there are bad cops. You know, and it's a shame that the ones that are doing their jobs are paying the price for the ones that are not doing their jobs, the ones that are abusing their power.
Well, to your point, there are some good reporters and there's some bad reporters.
Right.
On to the next topic. Sean would love to talk about this topic so much. Well, he's a bad reporter. Sean Black. Over the internet have gone crazy from Snoop Dogg to Susan Rice, all about Gail Kim interview on CBS this morning with Lisa Leslie, the WNBA player. Now, of course, you brought up a question that triggered a lot of people off. But not you, Sean Black. Go ahead and explain.
Okay, I'll do this very, very quickly. Anybody that saw this interview or saw the snippets of the interview knows what happened with Gail Kim interviewing Lisa Leslie, basically asking about Kobe Bryant and bringing up the rape trial or the rape case that was then dismissed because everything was settled and the case was dropped and then settled out of court. Bringing that up in that, I guess, during that interview brought a lot of, I'd say, interestingly angry points from especially the internet and social media. Before I bring in my point, I'm going to ask everybody at the panel, because I'm really curious as to what you guys are thinking first. Do you believe that all of this angry vitriol that we've been seeing with Snoop and Snoop Dogg called her out and said she came out of pocket talking about Gail King. A lot of other people, I think I heard Ricky Smiley on his talk show said that she was in the wrong. I've heard a lot of other celebrities come about this. Do you believe that she should get this anger that she's getting from everybody else in asking the question that she did about Kobe Bryant? Or do you believe that this is a complete overreaction because the comment was potentially taken out of context?
Lacey, you want to take over or you want me to answer first?
You answer first.
I'll go first. So my take on this, first of all, is Gail is a seasoned, even veteran, if you ask me, journalist, okay? Mm-hmm. So she knew exactly what she was doing by asking a question, then switching up the words, re-asking it, and still digging in when the question was even answered. So for me, her timing was very, very awful. The wording was very awful. And then she continued to keep, you know, pushing. Now, the way Snoop Dogg responded, obviously he was a close friend of Kobe's. It's no different than any of your close friends would come out and defend you in the moment of anger. I heard the Ricky Smiley podcast where he actually had Snoop call in. He was able to call in and explain. He sounded even more calmer. He was just explaining, you know, she's not respecting.
He wasn't high that time, I guess.
I wouldn't know. I wasn't, you know, smoking this time with him. I wouldn't know. But whatever the case is.
She said this time.
So whatever the case is, you know, he explained that his concern was more for the family, that he has daughters that was not even born around the timing of this case. It's probably now is their first time even hearing about this because it wasn't mentioned. And I'm listening to, you know, okay, he didn't say he apologizes, but he said Gail was out of pocket, point blank. Okay, she was out of pocket. Nowhere when he first put out the live video on Instagram did anybody feel like, oh, he's threatening Gail, blah, 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 until here comes Susan Rice with her threats. And I'm thinking your threats is pretty much to me more higher than Snoop's threats. You understand what I'm saying? Because you're part of the federal government, and you could definitely shut his whole life down if you felt like it. But to me, that didn't come up until Oprah went on the Today Show with the whole, you know, Gail hasn't slept for 2 days, and you know, she has heightened security. Now you're playing a victim role. So she has heightened security, and even Bill Cosby is tweeting from jail. Now you guys are scared.
This sounds like a bad soap opera, you know?
Let's stop. It's a big-time soap opera, and I say that because Gail went on her own live, even before Oprah went on the Today Show with that, and she said, you know, there were certain things that was chopped up. She felt like she has to take up certain things with, you know, CBS and so forth. Yeah, and she even explained that, you know, they left out a few things that she really wanted to hear. But she said she can see the reason why people are mad, because she's like reading, you know, whatever people keep posting, and she's reading through certain things. And she said, mm-hmm. you know, I can see the reason why people are mad and so forth, but this is what I said, and I thought Lisa Leslie was okay with it, and I thought she answered it, and blah, 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 blah. She still, it doesn't click to her, because she still even says, you know, she didn't want to go on any rehearsed thing. She wants to come to, you know, the public live, and I respected that part. But when she said that, you know, things will, you know, eventually blow over, it's like, wow. So you can do what Trump says, and then he thinks it's going to, I could tweet at him. Yeah, who's going to care about that tweet? You understand what I'm saying? And I think that's where, to me, the inconsideration part came in. Because it's like, do you apologize for saying it? Do you see what's wrong? Because you had many times when you guys interviewed him, even for his book and his short film when he was alive, to ask him this question. I've seen other networks, when he passed, they had to put that part in because that was part of his legacy, but they said the case was dismissed, and then they moved on to talking about greater things, just like how he did. And one thing about this country and people in this world, you don't like to give people second chances, and when you do, you think you can backtrack on certain things and go back on it and remind them of their mistake. And in this situation, we don't know what happened because the case was dismissed. The person refused to testify and so forth.
Okay, excuse me, lady. To add on to your case, as some people have said on social media, this is another case of a black woman trying to knock down the black man?
No, you know what I think it is? From her, I'm sorry to say, with Lady O, it's like, we know what happened to you when you was younger. You spoke about that when you had your talk show and things like this. There's females, when you go through domestic violence, abuse, rape, incest, da-da-da-da-da, you have a certain purpose that you feel like you need to fulfill and be the voice for everybody that's, you know, been either raped, victimized, and so forth. I think she's going a little bit too far, because what about Harvey Weinstein? When is that interview going to come on?
Well, mm-hmm. She's friends with Harvey Weinstein. That's not
so
about that.
That's even better. That's even better for him to clear his alleged name. That's even better. Why are you not getting the scoop on that?
So you say overall, when Bill Cosby passed away in the future, they're going to ask his ex-wife and other people about his sexual.
Yeah, his ex-wife even made a statement about this right after, and just referencing to the media and how people tear down people's name. This is what people do. And this is not just what people do. This is what, especially to black people, we don't get that second chance. There's certain white people, and I know y'all know who I'm talking about, that recently passed away, and they say he was involved with a 15-year-old girl and so forth.
Kirk Douglas.
Okay.
100-year-old man.
Oh, that was
okay.
Going on
last
for
week.
The longest in Hollywood.
But we remember him for all his great things, but we will not bring that up.
Oh, no, they never will.
I'm not going to lie to you. I did not know about that, too.
I didn't know about it, too, until it was brought up. Yeah, until it was brought up to this. But there's other people who they will not go by that. They'll leave their legacy looking as beautiful and perfectly painted.
But, Lady T, if the Kobe Bryant thing didn't happen, I guarantee you no one would have brought that up.
But I'm sure that's
I mean?
A question he's moved past. How many years was that? 2003? She's been socializing and been in events with him. They did the interview. I sat down and watched it when it came on, when he was promoting his book and so forth on the network. Like, give me a break. They didn't say that as far as even asking him that.
And you know what? Kobe, and the thing is, what people fail to realize, since they want to judge Kobe so much, Kobe admitted that it was consensual. And Kobe apologized about it. He even went to apologize to his wife about it. And you know what? That changed his life.
He didn't say it was consensual, because they had evidence pending against the girl talking about it was somebody else's DNA on her and stuff like that.
Right.
Which was the reason why everything was dropped.
Yeah,
because she didn't
want
to cooperate with the police. But
exactly,
then they settled.
There's probably
out of
more
things
coming out.
I think it was a year after that they ended up settling out of court.
Yeah, they did. And of course, you know, he went on to becoming a better husband. And he even had four children. And he even was pushing his daughter Gianna into basketball, and he was doing a lot of work for, especially for women to excel in the sport. So what I don't understand is this, you know, they keep rubbing in. Oh, well, you know, the rape case. Okay, it was he was acquitted and it was dropped. Next.
The point that I want to ask the panel, K-Dog, is why is it that whenever black men turn their lives around, I'm talking about their full 360 and then some, why is it always that one gun charge, that one weed arrest, that one something that will come up? You are afforded that second chance. And
no.
I was watching the Oscars when Joaquin said the same thing. Like, you know, he's made mistakes, and thankfully he's afforded that. But the world doesn't really afford people that, and it's really, really sad.
Well, that's the case. It's always been that way with a black person here in America, because it's like they always feel the need to try to hold that person down, to bring that person down.
I think
down.
It's just in America. It's everywhere in the world. But
everywhere. Well, you know, it's like people will always bring up, oh, well, so-and-so got arrested for this crime back in 1982. I'm like, why are you still bringing up that stuff happened since 1982? Look at the person now. But then after,
Kato, you got arrested back in 1982? Kato, you got arrested back in 1992? That's what you're telling us right now?
No, I'm just giving an example, bro.
but
it goes on and on and on. It goes on and on, and it never changes.
I've seen a lot of anger and from everywhere, and it's from Snoop and from, like, is it Susan Rice and some other people that have been out there.
Many people.
And don't forget other people that we don't know about, because if you look all on their pages with the comments when, you know, the Instagram posts was going up or the tweets and so forth,
and
just the world had something to say.
Man, they are chewing her ass, and they chewing her ass out all over the damn place.
This is my commentary on it, this brief commentary on it. And I had this discussion with Hot Rod literally the day after it broke. I watched the entire interview as it happened. And when I saw it, I'm like, oh, I can just see something is about to pop off after that. I had no problem with the first question, because the first question in the context of the interview, like when we talked about Kobe Bryant's passing 2 weeks ago, I said that he had the case behind him, but then he was able to go through that adversity and go forward, even though that was a black mark on him, he was able to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So in as far as that question goes, I had no problem with the first question.
Right.
Right.
All journalists do, because I did journalism when I was in college, the first thing that they tell you is your follow-up question is just as important as the first question you ask. Now, as far as the follow-up, that was where it was almost like the exposed nerve, where it's like, I understand where she's coming from, but she's trying to push, you sure, are you sure, are you sure? That part I didn't like. But as far as asking that question in the context of the entire interview, I had no problem with. Now, what I had, the problem that I really had was all this, and this is something that we've all talked about as far as social media. Everybody has gotten, as they say, woke now. Everybody has gotten this extra awareness towards certain things and certain things happening. Now, nobody in this entire culture that we've gotten to today, when we talk about Harvey Weinstein and we talk about Charlie Rose and Matt Lauer and all of the guys that have gone through either an accusation of assault or rape against them, we are now living in a cancel culture where the Kobe Bryant thing happened like 5 years ago or 7 years ago, I think we would probably maybe look at this whole thing differently. I think a lot of people would be looking at that differently. And we're now so quick to run down people if something in their past comes up. We've seen so many people that have had evil things happen in their past brought up that either nobody knew about or had no attention to, and then they've been castigated by society because of the social justice warrior, the people that are online that are going ahead and doing so many different things. When I look at the whole Kobe Bryant thing, this question or this line of questioning probably could have been done in a way not so soon after what happened. If that's where the anger is to be placed, then that's understandable. CBS knew what they were doing because they used that question to advertise the interview. And in that sense, they hung Gayle King out to dry on that question.
Yes, so, they did.
Of course, but it's a good marketing tactic to pull you in to make sure you watch it for their ratings.
Exactly.
Why not?
It was like a guerrilla marketing deal where Gayle King could not win even if she wanted to. So that's why I'm not putting as much anger towards Gayle King as everybody else seems to have. Because if that was the only reason why she did the interview was to get the gotcha moment, then she deserves everybody's scorn. But because of the interview went all over. She went through growing up, her friendship with Kobe, her jerseys, what he meant to the WNBA. She went to a lot of different places. So it's almost like it would be disingenuous for anybody to think that was the only reason why she had the interview.
But Gail knew what the interview consisted of because she did it, and she even said that she wanted them to put in there with certain things that they forgot where she asked. Lisa Leslie, do you think that's going to tarnish the legacy? So she obviously knew the questions when she asked it and, you know, the reaction that it could have potentially caused.
And usually
I'm sorry,
when
she's
you do
not
an 100% interview,
innocent here.
Usually when you do
nope,
an interview,
I can't.
You usually have a wide range of what topics you're going to go to, and you usually talk to the person you're going to do the interview with. I may ask this question. I may ask that question. Do you have a problem with me asking this or asking that? I don't think it was something where it's one of those deals where she just sprung it on Lisa Leslie at the last second. She had to some degree, I think Lisa Leslie might have known she would probably get to that question because the way she asked the question was as if Lisa was like, okay, she's about to go there. So I think in the grand scheme of this, I think the reaction towards Gayle King was way over egregious as far as the reaction goes. I understand the hurt involved because it happened so close, but I think the internet lost its mind overall with that. And I think
when
you look at the totality of the situation, and we realize we're talking about a beloved figure, somebody who was looked at the world over, and understanding if you are a friend of a family member, a colleague, you would be indeed pissed at this. But I
with every right to
way overboard with a lot of the reaction that I'm seeing. I mean,
they went way overboard because of their passion for the guy.
It went beyond.
Go ahead, K Dog.
Oh, sorry. No, go ahead.
And to have, of all people, Bill Cosby, someone who is in jail for the same situation that Kobe was accused of, is absolutely mind-boggling. And that's kind of also being lost in a lot of this.
But, somebody, wasn't Gayle King doing her job overall, doing for the ratings?
That's the whole point of this. She is
Why are the public upset if she's doing her job?
She is a journalist. She did her job. She asked the question. She did the follow-up. Now, the follow-up part that everybody is getting on, I can understand why people would be pissed off and upset. Because the follow-up, almost the way it was brought, the way it was shown, almost looked as if she was trying to badger her for the gotcha moment.
Yeah,
and,
but I sat down and watched that moment, and that moment she went, and it was the follow-up.
Yes.
And it was a follow-up and a follow-up and a poll and poll and turn her words around to make her almost say, you know what, I think he did it. Was that the response she was waiting for? Like, come on, you're a veteran freaking journalist. Give me a break.
Well,
I'd expect that from a person maybe on TMZ walking around trying to quickly get somebody to respond. Like, give me a break, man.
And that's this is why they call her a traitor among of the black community overall, a coon.
Oh yeah.
And like
they called
I said,
all sorts of names.
A lot of people just went overboard, and they took it to the extent that she is the bane of all black women, and she's trying to tear down
punish
the
black men.
Race.
Did they go
overboard, or so much of that stuff?
Did they go overboard, or are they still in the grief process? Why they reacted like that? You have a lot of people still.
That's a good question.
Yes,
I think
I have no problem with the grief. Because, as I said before, all of us were grieving over this Kobe Bryant situation because 41 years old, he was taken away from us way too soon. At the same time, a lot of people feel a closeness almost as if he was part of your – that almost like it was an extended part of the family.
People were it's like people are still in mourning about it.
Yes.
It's like
so
yeah,
but it's not
yet.
So much so about mourning about just him. God forbid if it was – you know, we've gone through grief processes and somebody approached you and said something about, oh, you know, your cousin was great, but yo, that thing that happened, remember that rape case? Yo, Hot Rod would have went off on that person. Like, don't you see me grieving
right
now? Why are you asking me about that?
Yes.
Exactly.
That was Snoop's initial reaction.
But
like, come on, gal.
Like I said, I didn't have a problem with the first question. It was the continued follow-up. She did her job with the follow-up, and that should have left it there. And
but
it was
how do we know?
Sean,
how do we know the producers did not tell her, you know, ask some more questions or whatever? We don't know what really went on during the interview. We'll just go by what you saw on TV.
Yeah.
A five-minute interview could have happened in 2 hours.
Because we can only
so she
speculate
sort of got
what
you,
the producer said. We can only speculate what happened as far as editing went, et cetera, et cetera. But we also know that when a journalist is going to do an interview, they have a run sheet of what questions that they're going to ask. And they go over what they can run, what they aren't, what they're going to do, et cetera, et cetera. So they have at least an idea of what's going to be asked. Now, maybe they didn't know that Gail was going to further dig in. And if that's the case, we know why the anger was there. But as I said before, to pulling that out of it, and no one's talked about the entirety of the interview. Now, when we were hearing when we talked about how great of a job Gail King did when she interviewed R. Kelly, nobody jumped on her about some of her follow up questions were on an ongoing case, et cetera, et cetera.
Did everybody know R. Kelly specifically asked for her? He didn't want to do an interview with anyone else. He wanted Gail.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he knew everything they were going to discuss, and he was okay with it because his point was, I need to clear my name. She could have done this. Talking to Lisa Leslie does not resolve anything, whether Kobe, which we're talking about a dismissed case, though. It's done. It's dismissed. It's over. Lisa Leslie cannot answer that. She was not there. You're talking to R. Kelly with these accusations. He wants to clear his name, of course. So Gail King can ask him. She had ample opportunity when he was alive to ask him. And that's the sad part about it. It's one thing if you want to ask me, you know what, do you think that's going to tarnish my friend's legacy? And then I tell you, no, I don't think so because X, Y, and Z, he's not that kind of person. You should have left it there.
Yeah.
I answered.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
We cannot let it go. People just cannot let it go.
And the thing is, in the midst of this whole discussion, we're not talking about the interview that she had. We're talking about that one part. And that's the unfortunate part of it because now knowing that there's going to be a memorial for Kobe Bryant, the sting is still there from the sudden death, and now you have this black cloud hanging over it. And then it also is portrayed now as black people looking at somebody with one of their own quote-unquote, betraying the race. And then that's the next narrative that's being passed. So what happens?
So that's always been the narrative. I don't think people are concerned about that. You always have a black person that'll throw you under the bus. That's not down with it. Like, give me a break. That's not even a concern anymore. I think by the time they bury him, everything will be okay. But guess what? Everything won't be okay as far as how people look at her. Come on.
But why do we have to bury each other for it to be okay?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about at Kobe's memorial. I'm sure they can restore that. They did the same thing with other people that passed. They
Michael Jackson.
Bashed them. This is my
Michael
point.
Michael Jackson
okay.
was bashed.
Yeah,
that's
Michael Jackson.
My point that I'm
oh,
saying.
Oh, Michael Jackson. Oh my goodness, they messed him up pretty bad. They brought up a lot of things about the child molestation cases.
Mm-hmm. And he's making more money now than being alive. Go figure.
Exactly.
I'm thinking they spoke about his molestation cases too when he was alive. That was a constant, ongoing thing too. I think people really, really, really need to focus on what's really going on. 2020 freaking election. We have someone else that's powerful, that's a pastor in there. Why are we, I don't know, but whatever.
Well, what I was just saying. As a black on black, so to speak, the argument and the angst within the race over another African-American celebrity, athlete, etc., but we have many other people that have actually done things, not just accused of doing, but have actually done things and are getting nowhere near this kind of castigation that we're hearing here. And that's the main issue that I have about the whole situation. Like you're saying, the attention is in the wrong place, but a lot of people would realize that if the shoe's on the other foot with someone else, i.e. somebody that is higher up in either government or in politics or as another celebrity doing the same thing, would not get anywhere near this kind of anger and vitriol that we've been hearing as we hear about this situation.
And that's what I said at the top of the show.
Mm-hmm.
One more example before we move on. Charlie Sheen, when he go away, are they going to bring up the case that he was HIV and pass on sex to everybody? I bet you didn't forget about that. You know?
Even that, not only that, he's almost looked at as, oh, he survived it. Look at what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, we used to hear nothing but scorn and craziness coming from him. And then all of a sudden, now he's laid low. He's not, I'm assuming he's cleaning himself up. I don't know what he's doing.
He's cleaned up. We've seen him on a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah.
He's able to change his life and get that path, second chance from society now.
You don't hear anywhere near the negativity that was once associated with his name.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hear any more tiger blood and winning and all of the other
winning,
stuff.
Winning, all of that
he's
stuff.
Clean, his image has been rehabilitated in the eyes of society, apparently. And for all intents and purposes, he lived a horribly reckless life.
So he could get a second chance, but not Kobe Bryant.
Well, I think Kobe got his second chance and did a great job with what he did.
He did an excellent job.
Yeah,
and I don't think that this little interview tarnishes his legacy. I'm sorry, it really doesn't. It just exposed Gayle King a little bit more, people looking at her side-eyed. And you got to remember, you have Negroes like that in every bunch.
Okay, on to our last topic. Sean, there's a story that I'd like you to read to us. And it's a story that happened last weekend, Super Bowl weekend in Miami.
I said, is it a bedtime story?
You can say that. But I know you guys will say.
I'm going to sleep after this one, though. But
Everybody will say, you know, he was wrong, she was wrong. They both was wrong. I just like to know from the panel who's more wrong. Go ahead, Sean Black. You got 10 minutes left.
Okay. There was a radio broadcast about a young woman who was stuck in Miami after the Super Bowl. She had no money to get home, stuck in a hotel lobby. And she said she met somebody, a guy who liked her, who flew her to Miami for the Super Bowl, took care of a hotel, got her meals, got her drinks, room and board, et cetera, et cetera. She got entry to the club for that whole weekend, and apparently she mingled with other people there. The guy that actually paid for his ticket, et cetera, et cetera, didn't really like that. She finally admitted she didn't want to be intimate with him because that's kind of the idea in his mind. Well, I'm paying all of this money, plane tickets, club, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to be doing something. So what happened? He decided, screw you, and left her there in Miami. So
Now
here's the question. she had a ticket to get back home. He canceled the plane ticket, so he just basically left her there in Miami. So the question to the rest of the guys, is this something where it's chalked up as, well, you know, it's a loss, I screwed up? Who was wrong? Or was it the male that knew what he wanted and didn't get out of it, quote-unquote, what he wanted? Or is the female at fault knowing that she was trying to get out of it what she wanted but didn't, quote-unquote, fully go through with everything? Who was more in the wrong? Are they equally wrong? What do you think? I'll throw it to Lady
K-Dog
first. What do you think?
No. Give us a Lady K-Dog to answer this first.
Oh, K-Dog first? Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, K-Dog.
Wow, man, it's just crazy the way the thing happened. So you mean to tell me, and mind you, I heard about it bits and pieces, so he left her in Miami?
Basically said, screw you, I'm done. Don't worry about getting on the plane, I'm done.
Why the hell would you do that
for him?
Why would you do that
for him? Well, Kendall, you spent a lot of money trying to put this lady, let's be honest, to sleep with her. She did not give you anything. She just blew you away. So out of emotion or out of anger, I could imagine if I spend, I'm just saying, $10,000 on you, they don't give me what I want. In other words, screw you. If you're going to screw me and use me for money, first up,
he's stupid, man, because you know what? Here's the dumb thing about it, man. You mean to tell me you're going to spend all that money to get between a woman's legs, and then after that, then when she ain't give you nothing, then you're going to be mad about it? You're the one that's stupid.
I'm sorry, Kato. How many times men do this type of things all the time? I'm sorry.
No,
because
you know what? We ain't thinking. This is the problem.
We
ain't thinking with our brains. We think it was something else, man. I mean, come on now. Think, man. What are you? Are you that desperate for that you're going to spend all that money, man? Come on, man.
What?
Come
on, son. But if you have the money, why not?
Then you just wasted your money. Come on, son.
Okay. Lady P?
I'm just wondering how old she was, because me, I would have had my own money in my pocket just in case. Sorry. I never rely on the dude's money. Sure, you want to spend that 10 grand? That's okay with me, but I know how to get home. I don't understand it. I mean, I really don't.
I think the ladies, if she did not want to sleep with the guy or whatever, she should be upfront about it, because you guys always mention on the show, communication is always the key.
Why? But maybe they was vibing and it was going good, but then she probably saw he had, like, wet stains in his undies or something, and it was like, oh, turn off.
Yeah,
I don't want to go this far with it. Like, he had doodle stains
or something.
Of course,
baby, she had to go there.
No,
of course,
I'm sorry. It's something that must have turned her off, or she probably saw him drop his drawers to go in the shower, and, oh, his thing is small. You know, something just said, you know what, I don't think we should do this now. Let's just enjoy Miami. Come on, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, have a good night.
One boy was stupid for letting that happen.
I gotta go.
I'm just saying.
Or here's a question to pose. What if she just didn't care to do anything with them other than he's offering to do blah, blah, blah. That's all I want out of it.
Mm-hmm.
If she's upfront with that to him and he's willing to spend, because let's really be honest, just the tickets alone to the Super Bowl, I think the cheapest tickets were like $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
If you're looking at getting there, you're talking about the plane trip. Lord knows where she's from. So the plane tickets round trip. Food, they said she went to the club, so they must have had lots of drinks and alcohol, clothing to wear for the whole weekend. Hotel, room and board, all of that stuff. You're probably looking at like maybe $20,000, maybe
so
somewhere in the neighborhood.
And that's the problem. You guys like to front like y'all some ballers. Oh, I'm going to take you here and there. And then it's not about nothing. Nah, you're not getting this on the first shot. We'll make you spend some more cash. Why not?
So you know what?
Man.
If that's the case, that's why I agree that he's a dumb one. Overall,
yeah.
To be enslaved. But guess what? You have to be careful because who you play. Now she got stranded at the airport because she played the guy.
Or even worse,
he got upset.
What if he got upset, like you said, what would have happened had he found out, oh, you're not going to you're not going to put out? Well, guess what? I'm going to beat you up and leave you laying in a parking
man,
lot.
Screw you.
Mm-hmm. What happens if in he doesn't realize, you know, that the situation is different and she's quote unquote like a black widow and she kills him or she does something to him? So there's
okay.
always that there's always that mindset. You just don't know.
Goodness. Too many horror movies.
Word
up,
man. You watch too much reality TV,
bro. I know
bro.
You've been binging Netflix and chill on these kind of series. Oh, my goodness.
Man, too much of it.
The funny thing about this is these kinds of things do happen. And
no, we know
where
that, but
somebody
come on.
Gets upset,
it's not that serious.
Somebody gets upset. Yeah, there are actual cases where
no,
something happens where the situation is, whining and dining, whoever it is, whether it's he for her or him for her, whatever is the case. Something goes wrong, and somebody either gets physical, something happens, somebody ends up dead. You just never know, and you don't want to take that. You don't want to run that risk, especially since they don't even really know each other. You don't know what this guy's background is. You don't know what her background is. So we can't assume that just because they just met, that both of their lives were above board before they met each other. Nobody knows what's going on.
Let's say if he did get it, right? And then all of a sudden she turned into a fatal attraction after that. And while he was there, maybe ripped her off or something.
You know what I mean?
Stole all the credit cards, went shopping in Miami, balling, strip clubs.
Blowing
all
that money.
Like, come on, man. It can go anyway.
Exactly.
And this is why you don't blow your major cash on strangers. Ladies, have your own money to get back from Miami.
Exactly.
So, in other words, always have a backup plan just in case.
Have a backup plan.
Even on a first date, I have a backup plan. I have my own money. We could go half. That doesn't bother me.
Oh, yeah?
Things like that don't bother me. But if you want to pay the whole thing, sure.
Let me think tomorrow night. You and I half will be 2 for $20. Let's go. But besides that.
Gotta get those
as long as they have shrimps or some sort of fish, okay?
But no problem. But I think the problem with this, after all, when all of a sudden it's done, I think on both sides, they will both have trust issues from now on, give or take. Because, when a guy take a girl out, he probably be looking at her like, yo, you're not going to rob me the same way this girl robbed me back in Miami. And the girl probably will be like, you know what, you're not going to treat me the way this guy treat me. Don't see any trust issues foreseen in their relationships overall.
He's spending 10 G's. He sounds like a player that was doing that from before, and he's okay with the next chick losing 10 more G's.
If somebody is willing to spend $20,000 on somebody they've never met,
yeah,
I think trust is the last thing that anybody's
thinking
about.
Exactly.
That's crazy, man.
If this guy is listening to the show, I'd be happy to take me out to Miami.
Word.
I got kids to feed, okay?
Oh, man.
Other than that.
That sounded weird.
Weird, man. Crazy, man. Crazy.
Listen, it's 2020. I have to take one for the team. I got bills to pay, okay? I'm not going to lie. I got to put food on the table, and these kids got to feed. But other than that,
you gonna compromise yourself for 20 T's? Make sure I get my half.
Because he's tough. He's tough.
Make sure I get my half hot.
Oh man.
Hey, I'm being picked out over here. But Lady T, K-Dawg, Sean Black. I don't know if to thank you guys or curse you guys out.
Oh man.
Well, knowing when the show is over, you'll probably be doing both. So.
Exactly.
Well, guys, thank you so much. I might not do the show next week due to schedule conflict, because Sean and I will be busy in Miami, so don't be surprised. But other than that...
Hey, man, don't leave him stranded.
Make it rain.
Well,
get that money.
If one of us don't do the show, you know what happens.
Well, before I go, did you guys saw the video of that pole stripper that fell down 20 feet?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I saw it. She's recovering
from
it, though.
Broke her damn jaw.
Too much WWE. Good grief.
Yeah, but my thing is, before we go, why did they set up a GoFundMe page for her?
That's crazy, man.
Broke her jaw.
Because
the stripper, they seen her get back up and she can shake it. You seen her continuously, so they like, she's going to get the money regardless. She's good. But they did. Her friend actually raised, I think, $17,000 or almost $14,000, something like that for her to put towards her medical bills. So.
Wow.
Okay. Go ahead, Sean. Go start dancing. On that night, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. God bless and take care.
Good night.
And as always, the
pleasure
was all yours. Sean, go make it rain right now. Good night.
Of course.
Damn.
1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million.
Y'all got my cut. Just give me my cut. Thank you.
No problem. Gotcha.
That's right. We want half.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Peace out.